Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
I want to talk about the origin of other religions. I want to talk about the nature of other religions. And then finally to look at some instructions from God in His Word about how to handle some matters like these. First of all, when you talk about origins, you really come down to the basic bottom line is either it is from God or it is not. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 8, is going to address a matter which I think just sort of brings this into focus. Our Lord had cast all of the money changers out of the temple area. And when He did that, there were a lot of the chief priests, the scribes, who came to Him and said, "By what authority did you do this? Who gave you this authority to do this?" And so what happens is, in verse 3, "But He answered and said to them, 'I will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?'" That's a very basic and simple question. He said to those people who were challenging Him, "The baptism of John, where did it come from? Did it come from God or did it come from men?" And really, that's in sum and substance what we have with regards to other religions. Either the religion does come from God, or it doesn't come from God, it comes from men. In fact, in John spoke, in John 3 and verse 27, John the Baptist said, "A man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven." We've got to understand that if we're talking about true religion and serving God, it is either God's religion or it's man's religion. There's really no in-between on the matter. In Jesus' day, there were people who had formed their own religion of worshiping God. If you'll turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The context begins in verse 1, and it begins with a question being posed to Jesus. "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" Our Lord then turns around and poses a question back to them, and then He draws attention to a fact, particularly beginning with verse 7. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honor me with, or come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Their doctrines are not from God. These are man-made teachings, man-made doctrines. And if you will notice specifically, verse 12, "Then His disciples came to Him and said to Him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" Lord, do you know that you made these people upset? You offended them in what you said. And here's how the Lord responds in verse 13. "But He answered and said, 'Every plant which My heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.'" The Lord called attention to the fact that there were people who were teaching error. They were teaching man's doctrines. Now, the passage that Brother Eddie read just a few moments ago from Romans chapter 10. This is the same group of people. And Paul is looking at them and he is saying about them, "I want them to be saved." And he says they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. And because of their ignorance of God's commands, he says they go about, they seek to establish their own plan of righteousness. I'd suggest to you that if you start looking in the Scriptures, that you will find that the origin, the beginning of many of the religions of this world did not have their origin in God. They have their origin in man and what man wants to be taught. And the Bible is very clear. I could produce many other passages, like Colossians 2, 20-23, which talks about this false self-imposed religion. But now as I go beyond that, though, I have to talk about the nature of these religions. Just like I pointed out in the origin, either it is from God or it is not from God. If you call it an other religion, you're saying it's not from God. And from that, there are two different pathways of that as well. For those who are part of an other religion, either they are worshiping, number one, the wrong God, or number two, they are worshiping the right God in a wrong way. And they're using their own laws and their own commandments to do so. Let me point out to you that in the Bible, you find God addressing quite frequently people who are worshiping the wrong God. Exodus 20, verse 13 says that, And all I said to you, be circumspect, make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard in your mouth. I don't want you to worship other gods. In Joshua 24, when the children of Israel had crossed into the promised land, Joshua has been their leader. He's now an aged man. And he tells them, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods your father served on the other side of the river. And he says, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a contrast there between serving God or serving other gods. But I don't believe most of us are confronted with serving other gods. That is, for instance, like the Greek gods of Apollo and Jupiter and Hermes. And you think of all of these gods that were a part of the Greek culture. I believe what most of us face are people who take the worship of God and they pervert it. They change it to where it's no worship at all. In John 4, verse 22, Jesus is with the woman at the well. She is a Samaritan. And the Samaritans worshipped on Mount Gerizim, right there, right next to the city of Shechem. And when the Lord is discussing with this woman about her background and the background of the Jews, Jesus said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. God's plan had decided that the city of Jerusalem was where people should go to worship. They had decided something else. I'll give you another illustration. Acts 17 and verse 23, Paul is on Mars Hill. And he is being confronted by all of these various philosophers. And he has pointed out as he has passed through the city, he's observed a number of objects of worship. But you come down to verse 23, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, him whom you worship ignorantly or without knowing, I proclaim to you. Paul said, you're worshiping this God. You don't know what you're doing. You're not doing it correctly. But I want to talk to you about him. Now, what we do is we recognize that involves a lot of people of different groups. For instance, those who worship other gods, you may come in contact with people who are Hindus, who are Buddhist. You may come in contact more likely with people who are humanist, especially on college campuses. People who believe that man is the measure of all things. But when you think about the people who are worshiping the right God, but they're worshiping in the wrong way, All you have to do is open up the newspaper or the yellow pages and go down the list. What about those who are Jews? They're worshiping the right God, but they're not following the New Testament teachings. What about those, for instance, who are Jehovah's Witnesses, or those who are Latter-day Saints or Catholics? Or we could go on and on and on to list people who are a part of other religions, and yet they are not a part or teaching God's truth on that. Some people do not realize that the nature of other religions is they draw people away from God. In the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, he says, one of them, a prophet of their own, says, Cretans are always liars, lazy or evil beasts and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn men from the truth. Who turn men from the truth. If you take man's doctrine and you preach it, it turns people away from what God has told them to do. That's the reason why Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 23, he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now that was to lay a foundation so we can now answer the question, how do I respond to those of other religions? If one wants to know how to do that, you've got to go to the Bible and look at what God says. And one of the first things God says is, do not believe everything that someone tells you about God. There have been a number of people who want to tell you about who God is and what God is and what God wants from you. Let me give you an example. The Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are in the garden. God had told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan comes along and says to her, Genesis 3 verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. God's not telling you the truth is what Satan says. And there are people in this world who will tell you what you read in this book is not really the way it is. For instance, there are a number of different religious groups that you go on, you talk to them, and you ask the question, do I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins? Oh, no, 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 you don't have to do that. All you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. Oh, but I don't know if the Bible shows a lot about baptism. Oh, but you've got to understand, God's grace is going to cover you. That. Let me carry to some other passages that talk about God's grace. You see, there are people who will tell you things, and they may do so innocently, but then there are some people who actually know better. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there's an incident there, and God has chosen this young prophet from Judah to go and cry out against the altar of Jeroboam in Bethel. And he does what God tells him to do. And just as soon as he goes there and begins to prophesy against Jeroboam, Jeroboam sticks his hand out to say to arrest him. And when he does, his hand withers. And he asks the young prophet to pray for him, and he did. And his hand was restored. He offered to give him a great meal. He offered to take care of him. He said, no, God told me to not eat or drink anything here and go out a different way than I came in. As this young prophet is now going back home the way God told him to, an older prophet from there hears about it. And he comes and he tells that younger prophet, here's what he says, beginning with verse 14. And he went after the man of God, found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to them, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to them, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I cannot return with you or go in to you with you. Neither can I eat or drink water with you in this place. For I've been told by the Lord, You shall not eat bread or drink water there, nor am I going by the way you came. And he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. And in parentheses it says, he was lying to him. Now I could speculate why that older prophet lied to that younger prophet, but he lied to him. Here's a man supposedly religious, and he tells somebody to do something that God has said not to do. And of course, if you notice in the rest of the text, he does go back and eat with him, and he loses his life because of it. You see, we have to go on what we know God told us, not what people tell us about it. Number two, frequently people invent the kind of God they want. They're the kind of people who will say, the God that we've got, or the God we see in the Bible, is not exactly the kind we want. We want a God that's more loving. We want a God who will, for instance, allow us to commit sin and we not be responsible for it. And so for that, those people create their own kind of God. You say, oh, but people wouldn't do that. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 6, Moses went up to the top of Mount Sinai. God gave him the law. Moses stayed there a little longer than they expected him to stay. And so when Moses comes down, after God told him to go down, what has taken place? Aaron and the children of Israel have made their own God. They made him a molded golden calf. Why did they do that? Because they wanted a God that they could look to and they'd say, this is our God. There are people in this world that will do that. We can't make God in our image. We are made in God's image and must worship Him that way. Number three, God warns us about joining in with those who do not teach the truth. The reason why God warns us about this, He points out that they can and will influence us. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Amos 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they are agreed? If you want to go north and I want to go south, we can't walk together. We're going to be walking apart. If you want to go east and I want to go west, we can't walk together. We're going apart. If you and I want to walk together, we've got to be going in the same direction. If someone comes along to us and they present us with something erroneous, we can't walk with them. Listen to Paul as he writes the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and they will be my people, and I shall be their God. The problem is that we sometimes don't realize that people in other religions are not walking where we walk. And because of that, we can't go hand in hand. One of the examples that I think is valuable in the Bible is found in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah returned to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild it. He had asked the king to allow him to do that. And when he arrived, there were a number of people there who were not Jews who wanted to be a part of all this. And if you'll notice the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 17, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how that Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them that the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words which he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hand to this good work. But Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem heard of it, and they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore his servants will rise and build. But you have no heritage or right or a memorial in Jerusalem. What Nehemiah says is, you are not a part of God's group of people. You don't have the heritage here. You don't have the right. You don't have the memorial. We often talk about prayer. In fact, I was asked to speak on or answer the question about praying. Is there a right way and a wrong way to pray? And I tried to emphasize in that lesson that the only kind of prayer that we can offer to God that is acceptable is one of His children. And I think that's part of what he is trying to point out here. Number five, Jesus points out that His way is exclusive. John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except or but by me. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, talks about the broad way that many are going to enter, and then the narrow way that few will find. But now I know there's some people saying, you've talked all the way around this subject, but I still want to know, how am I supposed to respond to these people? But if I hadn't said everything that I said previously, it would not have made good logical sense. But what I've tried to emphasize is that either you're from God or not from God. Either you're worshiping Him incorrectly if you're another religion, or you're worshiping the wrong God. And there's much in the Bible about the exclusivity. But now here I am. I come in contact with these people. How should I react toward them? Well, I want to offer you two or three scriptures, and then we'll bring the lesson to a close. The first one is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech be with grace, favor. And then he gives a picture of like seasoning it with salt. Make it more palatable. You don't go out and you don't find a person who is in a false religion or one who is worshiping a false god and immediately insult him or immediately try to be negative or ugly toward him. Or if you do, you will find that you will have no influence on him whatsoever. Let me point out to you that Jesus nor Paul ever treated people in an unkind way who were willing to listen and learn. The woman at the well in John 4, our Lord approached her in a very kind, compassionate way and opened a door to teach her the correct way. The Apostle Paul explained it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without law is without law, not being without law toward God, but under law to Christ, that I might win those who are without law. I became weak, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You're not going to save them all. But he says, whatever it took for me to try to be able to reach them. And you got to understand, that did not mean that Paul compromised the truth at all. Because he said, as those without law, he says, but I didn't act as if I didn't have law to God in Christ. In the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23, he says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh or defiled by the flesh. What those last three verses indicated, or last three passages, is the fact that, yes, we may have friends, we may have family, we may have acquaintances that are in other religions. And being there, they are not where they ought to be. But we don't treat them mean, we don't treat them unkind, we don't treat them with an axe to grind. We try to teach them the truth. When we encounter those of our family and our friends of a different religion, how we treat them says a lot about true Christianity. And when we don't walk with them sometimes, you better be prepared for people to speak evil of you. I can't tell you how many times that I have talked to people and we be discussing things in such a way that I felt like was congenial. But then when it came to a point that they realized that we don't go along with them, they immediately turn and become negative and angry. 1 Peter 4 and verse 4 says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. There are people going to say, I can't believe that you don't go along with us. But loyalty to God demands that we stand up and that we preach and teach the truth and teach others in a kind way.